Now back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line for the show, Dr. Tara Harrison. And Dr. Harrison is on the adjunct faculty at Michigan State University's Vet Medicine School, the Small Animal Department. She's also an instructor at Michigan State's Evening College. And her day job, which is what she's best known for, is veterinarian curator at Potter Park Zoo. Welcome to the show, Dr. Harrison.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. It's so rare that we find someone who's as busy as you available to come on the show, so we're very grateful. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what it is that you do for Potter Park Zoo?
Well, basically my job as the veterinarian is to take care of all the animals here at the zoo, and we have, you know, give or take about 600 animals year-round, and then in the summer we actually go up to close to 1,000 animals, so that keeps me more than busy with that. And then as the animal curator, I help coordinate any animals that come and go to the zoo as part of the endangered species program called the Species Survival Plan, and also help to coordinate and make sure we have enough zookeepers here working.
That sounds like a pretty big accomplishment. Amazing that you can pull that off, and probably necessary to do that in a mid-sized zoo like Potter's Park Zoo.
Yeah, it keeps me busy, that's for sure.
And I've got it right, you're literally the only curator specifically titled as that at the zoo, is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. I am the only animal curator here currently at the Potter Park Zoo.
That's probably a huge undertaking.
It is, but we have a great staff, so they help make it easy. Our staff is amazing, and I have a veterinary technician who helps me with the medical end, and then our zookeepers to help with the animal end of it. Yeah, I couldn't do it without them.
And what I know is that you're always in the news, I'd say 2-3 times a year, for big cases that you're in charge of at the zoo when animals are in difficult situation or need some veterinary assistance. Why don't you highlight a few of the big events that you've had with respect to publicity for what goes on there in veterinarian at Potter's Park Zoo?
I guess what we've been more recently known for is that our advances in cancer treatment for the animals. Just like many other zoos, the animals that we have here, they live here for their whole life, and you sort of go through a cycle with them aging. So we are sort of going into a cycle of having some older animals now, and the older they get, the more likely they are to have cancer. So basically, historically in zoos, either didn't figure out that the animals had cancer till it was too late, or you just, you know, did surgery, took it away, and just waited for them to pass away. So that's not enough for me, so I prefer to try to treat them and make the animal as comfortable as possible. So, I mean, we've treated cancer in a lion and extended his life by a year and a half, and we've even done treatment of a tenrec, which is like a small hedgehog type animal, and he had radiation therapy at the veterinary school, and it went away, and, you know, ultimately, like all cancers, they eventually come back, but we were able to extend his life as well. So those are probably some of the things that we've made the biggest advances on. And, you know, have done that. We've treated a wolf for cancer as well, and then recently a snow leopard.
And I would imagine that your work is a little bit groundbreaking, and you probably get a lot of attention from other zoos, and that's probably at least a rewarding part to what you do.
Yeah, no, it certainly is rewarding to be able to help other zoos, and we have had quite a few zoos contact us to find out how we've treated the animals for cancer and what we've done. And we've even had, when we treated the tenrec, we've had other veterinary schools even contact us and the Michigan State. So trying to find out how to treat the animals that they have that have come up with those types of cancers. So it's opened up quite a few collaborations with people all over the United States.
And if we can go back a little bit, I'd like to know, there aren't many exotic animal veterinarians, especially at zoos, because there's only a limited pool of, you know, zoos that are going to have veterinarians. What got you into this, and, you know, how did you manage to go down this pathway, and would you recommend others to go down this pathway as well?
I pretty much have been interested in being a zoo vet specifically ever since I was probably about 13. So I went to veterinary school with that intent and worked my way towards that all the way. It's not one of the things that happens right after you graduate, so I did do some internships at other zoos, so Toledo Zoo and a zoo in Oregon called Wildlife Safari, and then also did a master's out in California. But all of it ultimately worked my way toward coming here to Potter Park. I find it very rewarding, and I think the most rewarding aspect of it is, yeah, it is fun working with all sorts of different animals, and it keeps you on your toes because you're working with all sorts of different animals. So I like that challenge of it, and having the variety of species and all of that. I also like the education aspect of it, to be able to teach either other veterinary students or other college students and even children that are in elementary school through high school, whatever, about these animals, how we take care of them, things like that. So I certainly enjoy that aspect of it, as well as the conservation. So the work that we're doing here is helping to preserve species as a whole. So every animal that we breed here, we increase the population for that animal. And every animal that we figure out how to safely treat whatever condition they have, it extends their life of these very endangered animals. So I find that very rewarding. I think it's a great field to go into. Obviously, like you said, there's, you know, not that many jobs per se, but so if you have your heart set on, you know, becoming a zoo vet somewhere in Michigan, you know, it may be harder for that to actually occur, not impossible, but you can certainly get a job in a zoo somewhere. There's usually about one job per month open somewhere in the United States. So there are certainly jobs available, and it can happen. And I do help and mentor students at the vet school to try to help them achieve that goal.
Fascinating. We're speaking this morning with Dr. Tara Harrison, who is the veterinarian and curator at the Potter Park Zoo. Dr. Harrison, you were talking about your degrees and how you got a master's degree. I found that to be a little bit interesting because as I was reading it, it's a master's of preventative medicine focused on zoonotic diseases of captive and free-ranging wildlife.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that isn't that something that all vets would need to know, preventative medicine? Or is it just that at the beginning, most vets were treating illness, and we've just crossed back to the threshold of how do we prevent the illness before it ever comes about? I found that to be a little bit strange.
I don't know. It's not necessarily strange per se. I guess this is a different way of looking at preventive medicine. So it's sort of like a master's of public health, but the degree that I got was more geared toward veterinarians. And in veterinary medicine in general, we're all working toward preventive medicine with vaccines and annual exams on your animals or biannual exams. So that aspect is very much still taught in the veterinary curriculum, and that is something that we try to teach anyone that comes through, you know, coming to your veterinary clinic or et cetera. And most of my job at the zoo is trying to prevent the animals from getting sick. The degree that I got, though, is trying to look at the bigger picture. So, okay, we want to prevent the diseases, but how common are the diseases that are occurring? And look at trends to see if there's any trends that are relating to the actual disease. So trying to look at it from a more global perspective, I guess. So instead of looking at the individual animal, I may look at, okay, this individual animal has this problem. I wonder how many other animals in other zoos or other facilities or even wildlife have the same disease, the same condition, and what led up to it. So trying to see if, okay, this animal had this vaccine. I wonder if this vaccine caused the same problem in other animals, which I'm not saying that vaccines cause disease. In general, the vaccines are very helpful and help protect the animals and save the animals from way more problems than, you know, otherwise. So maybe a better example might be, okay, was this animal exposed to this type of animal out in the wild? You know, like, let's say, like canine distemper, are there raccoons around in that area that have canine distemper? So could that have caused this disease with this animal? Or feline calicivirus? Virus, did a stray cat come and give this disease to the tigers, and how likely is this going to happen somewhere else?
Yeah, and I think that in the history of the zoo, you've had to confront some of those very issues, correct?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we've had both of those issues, actually. We have had a raccoon that had canine distemper that then gave canine distemper to a snow leopard, and this was before I was here. But I mean, that said, at that time, we didn't realize that big cats were susceptible to canine distemper and they can die from it. So that's one of these things. Zoo medicine is very new medicine, you know, comparatively, in that we're still very much learning what these animals are susceptible to or not. And then with the feline calicivirus virus, diseases change. People are used to feline calicivirus virus in domestic cats causing runny eyes and a snotty nose, and that's about it, and they get over it in a week. Maybe they need some antibiotics if they got a secondary bacterial infection on top of it. But there's a new strain of it that it's virulent and systemic, which basically means it's very potent and it spreads throughout the body. So we actually had a stray cat that had that, and it sneezed, coughed, spit, whatever, in our tiger exhibit. And then we had a female tiger go out into that exhibit, and then she went inside, and then she ended up having some cubs. And this was about 6 years ago. And then when she had her cubs, she gave that disease to the cubs, and they got very, very sick. So to the point we had to take them away from the mom and tube feed them and everything. But it was basically, it caused parts of their tongue to fall off and parts of their foot pads to fall off. So it was a really nasty, horrible disease. So as a part of that, we then worked with Fort Dodge and several other zoos that developed a vaccine, a new vaccine, to help prevent that disease. Prior to that, there was not a strain of that type of disease in a vaccine because it was new. So we tested out the vaccine with other zoos and found out that it did work, and hopefully no other zoo will ever have to experience that again.
And I would imagine that the digital age has probably helped the Zoo Society of Veterinarians immensely at trying to discover and understand and learn how these all interrelate. Wouldn't that be true?
Yes, no, certainly. I mean, the digital age, just like everything else, it is making things easier, better, faster. A lot of zoos are going to digital x-rays, so if you've never seen this type of condition before, it's a new condition or a new disease in an animal, being able to send x-rays or ultrasound images, you know, remotely to another zoo to get a, you know, get their 2 cents or their opinion on it, or to Michigan State University, to the vet school, they help us out a lot. So being able to have that resource available where you're not sort of isolating, you know, working as an island, you have a whole global community helping you to treat your animals and provide the absolute best care for it. So there's a lot more networking going on, and there's a lot more people helping each other with things, and it's faster. So instead of trying to, you know, play phone tag and call everyone, you can send pictures, images, and everything like that. And it, I think it substantially improves the care of our animals.
Dr. Harrison, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Can you share with our listeners, it's a busy time at the zoo, and I think we ought to tell them about some of the great things that are going to be happening at Potter Park in the upcoming weeks.
All right. Well, probably the most exciting is this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're having a grand opening of our Eastern Black Rhinoceros exhibit. So we're very proud to have black rhinos back at Potter Park Zoo. So we are opening that exhibit up and showcasing that today. And so that's what's going on today. So the rhinos are on exhibit pretty much every day, and they will be as long as, you know, weather permits, obviously. So that's what's going on today and then for the rest of the year. And then we are also kicking off, there's a scarecrow contest. If you guys want to come decorate any scarecrows at the zoo, that is starting on the 15th. And then Boo at the Zoo is probably our next big event, and that's Saturday and Sunday, the 22nd and 23rd from noon to 4, where you can dress up and come to the zoo and trick-or-treat at the zoo.
Well, it sounds like a great time, and it sounds like you've got one heck of a job. We want to thank you for coming on the show with us. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Tara Harrison, who is the veterinarian and curator at the Potter Park Zoo. Thanks so much. We really appreciated your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Sure. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with Wayne Beasley, a good friend of yours from Williamston, who you do a lot of things with, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.